Hi, Bibi.
Hello.
I'm here to do the intro to our computer club. Would you like to help me?
Sure.
Excellent. Excellent. That's good. Did you know that we changed the computer club to Tuesdays at 10?
Yep.
You did? Who told you?
You.
When did I tell you?
A couple days ago.
Oh. Well, we did. And we did our first meeting last Tuesday.
Wow.
Well, I thought it went pretty good. What'd you think of it?
I can't answer that. I wasn't there.
This is the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club from November 3rd, 2020.
November 3rd? Today's the 9th, okay.
That's right, and that's the reason we have to do the intro, because I need to get last week's meeting out as a podcast before tomorrow, which is the next meeting.
Wow.
What date would be the next meeting? Do your math. From
the 10th.
Excellent.
That was very easy.
I'm glad you found that easy. I hate to think that was a hard thing for you to do.
What?
Well, this is Scott and Beebe.
Hi.
Saying tech on.
Tech on.
Until tomorrow, when our next meeting will occur. Adios.
Bye.
Thank you, Beebe.
You're welcome, Father.
So, Cheryl, I have a question for you. So, you can get onto Streamio on your MacBook laptop?
No.
Yes.
No.
That's you should be I able say. To.
We can get on Streamio on the Apple products, but it's just the paid stuff. You don't get
no.
the
Bill on your laptop. Stuff. On your laptop.
On the laptop?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
oh, but
and the Fire Stick.
That's
we
the
don't
confusion.
Have an Apple laptop, guys. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the confusion.
We have a Windows. We have Windows laptops. We have an Apple iPad, and I honestly have never tried Streamio on it, so I don't know.
Well, Scott, that's what I sent you. When I logged on to Streamio.com, I got that page that said, do you want to sign up for beta? I don't get anything
else.
Oh,
all I read off of your picture was download the beta.
Exactly. That's the only thing I get.
You don't need to sign up. Just download it.
But why do I want to download beta?
Well, maybe they're just calling the latest version a beta.
Oh.
Let me bring it up. I'm going to bring it up and look at that again.
Okay.
Just so it's not confusing.
Right. You're welcome to share it. But so I logged into Streamio.com, and that's what came up is what I sent you.
Okay. So
there was
says,
no little puzzle piece. There was nothing.
Well, that's because you're not running the software. You need to download the software for your laptop. And
okay,
I will share my screen. Even though I'm on a Windows computer, I can still download the Macintosh version. I just need to tell it. So right here, if we click on the Apple, there, it started downloading in Chrome.
Okay.
There's the DMG, that's the disk image file. I'm pointing at it with my finger, but I'm pointing at it with my cursor too. You see it right here? So I can't open that because I'm not on a Macintosh, but then you click on that, it'll open up and the app will be there.
Okay. I will try that later.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here comes James and Carolyn. I sent the invite on to them, you guys.
Oh, good. I got them in the list. She had contacted me and I got her on the list.
So another fellow Canadian.
All right. Have they returned to San Carlos yet? Or are they like you guys?
They need to unmute themselves, but they can tell you.
Hey, guys. Welcome. We're just getting started. We're already started recording, but we haven't hit the stream button yet. Good morning.
Now we're unmuted.
All right. Are you folks still in Canada?
Vancouver Island. We're on Vancouver Island.
Oh, all right.
And I'm in the shower.
Ah, you've still got 8 minutes till I say we've formally begun.
Oh, that's good. I can go get breakfast.
What I was doing just minutes ago.
We're getting these campus
so Scott,
yes.
I get like 6 messages about Computer Club.
Okay, well, at least one of those was a mistake because I rescheduled it for Saturday instead of Tuesday.
I know, but it comes through on my Google Calendar and it comes through on email and it comes through about 6 different places.
Well, that's got to be why you've got stellar attendance.
Yeah, I got two on Sunday. I got two this morning. And then, yes, my Google Calendar now, when you sent out that RSVP on the new invite, somehow it had added it to all of my calendars on my phone, on my computer. So everything's been dinging.
Well, well, keep in mind that it is the same calendar that's on all your devices. Like when you go to your tablet, it's the same calendar you're using on your phone, which is the same calendar you're using on your laptop. So
that's, but it comes through as different invitations.
Okay, so then those are different as well. So you have a calendar notification. I should just start our meeting. You have a calendar notification, and that is from the calendar app, and that happens everywhere you use your calendar. So if you have not looked at it on your phone, it's going to show up as a notification on your phone. And if you haven't looked at it on, and that's just the calendar app by itself. And that calendar app is integrated with Meet, so it includes the Meet code. And part of the calendar app takes that and schedules it in your calendar. That's the reason you're getting the notification, is that when you accepted to be part of that meeting, then Google took that meeting and added it to your calendar based on the dates that I set forth with it.
So they're on there for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and what you can do if you wanted it out of there is you could just delete it. You could go forward to December and delete from there forward. You could do something like that. You could just delete it from today. It'll be gone forever. But then the other notifications you're getting through email. And those are from me. Every morning before club, I send out a notification email early, like 45 minutes early, just so people can get prepped and remember that we're having a meeting. Hey, Judy, long time. Good to see ya. And so that's the reason Yes, Bill, go ahead. I was just going to finish up with saying that's why the multiple notifications. Because that email is the same email you use in your phone, in your computer, in your tablet. So that same email notification shows up in each one of those devices. Sorry, Bill, go ahead.
I have a little bit of non-technical, non-computer news. On my weather app this morning, it said that Calgary set new record highs, 23 degrees Celsius, which is 74 degrees Fahrenheit, which is warmer than Daytona, Florida.
Wow.
They beat Daytona, Florida's high yesterday.
Well, you know what we were yesterday? 90 degrees.
I don't give a shit.
90 degrees. The forecast was for 74.
Yes, but Bill's not telling the whole story, because from Thursday to Friday, the temperature in Alberta takes a nosedive. And very quickly, we go from 20 above to, I think it's going to be -8 or something next week.
Yeah, -8.
That's overnight, you know, within Friday to Saturday.
Well, that's amazing. I'm hearing myself come back across somebody's speakers. I'm thinking, are they yours, Bill?
No, I don't think so. You come straight into my ears.
Right into my ear holes. They come straight in.
Into my ear hole. By the way, -8 is 17 degrees, 18 degrees Fahrenheit. That's in about 4 days.
That sounds much cooler than any of us are ready for.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We'll get an update from the Alaskans. I don't know if they're that cold yet.
Just remember that -40 is the same in both scales.
That's good to know.
Yes, well, so we're well aware of that.
Well, you know,
I've actually experienced -40 more than once.
I was going to say that Fairbanks, the second largest city in Alaska, typically has a winter full of -40 to -60 degrees. I always think people that live in Fairbanks, you don't want to mess with, because they get 90 to 100 degree weather in the summer and -40 to -60 degree weather in the winter. They are extremists, and you should be careful. They're armed and they're patient.
Armed and dangerous.
That's right. They know how to survive in ways you can't imagine.
they go from the frostbite to skin rash.
Yeah, they're right to sunburn. Yeah, like skin cancer to frostbite all in one year.
Yeah.
Fairbanks is always interesting as you drive through the town because you see in the parking lots all these outlets that sit up like above waist high so that in the winter when the parking lot's full of snow, it's down by the grill of your car and you can plug it in. You go to a Denny's or a McDonald's or something and you're going to go inside, you plug your car in.
Sounds like a drive-in theater.
Well, the businesses that don't have a plug-in, you'll find a parking lot full of running cars. And the real joke is to buy a used car from Fairbanks, you really need to know the history because it might only have 20,000 miles on it. But it's been running for 13 years. <It's>...
I remember as a kid, my dad had a brand new 1960 Pontiac. And we were on a trip down into the States partly. And the service station attendants, when they used to, were quite amused at the cord hanging out the front. They could not figure out what that was for.
Right. What, it's an electric car. Did you tell them it's an electric car?
They thought it was.
I remember in college, my car had to sit outside, and I had a line heater, a battery blanket, an oil pan heater. All plugged together in the, so when I plugged in my car to stay warm overnight, it would heat three different elements in the car.
Yeah, the whole town would
be. To be fair, it would heat four elements because I kept a space heater inside the car, so you could come out and the windows were all defrosted. I was 18. What's risk, right? Let's come out and find a bonfire instead of my vehicle.
At least it'd be warm.
At least it'd been warm.
It would have been warm. Yeah. Well, hey, guys, it's 10 o'clock. This is our new meet time. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and you guys are the San Carlos Computer Club. And I feel like we have successfully continued to have meetings throughout this pandemic in this virtual format, and we're in no hurry to try and do meetings in person anytime soon. So our new time will be Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. This is, seems to be working for a number of us till the foreseeable future. And I'm so happy that Caroline and Jim have been able to join us. We haven't seen their smiling faces in, gosh, at least 35 meetings. This is the 35th quarantine meeting. Well before that, welcome. It's nice to see Chester with us. Have you gotten settled in okay, Chester?
Not completely. I still have about half a trailer to unload.
Where is it that you are now?
Queen Creek, Arizona.
Okay, well, you've come down into much, much nicer temperatures.
Yes, and I left it just in time that the Oregon rains had just started.
And Judy's with us again. Judy, are you in San Carlos or are you still in the States? Oh, I'm afraid you're muted.
Yeah, I am muted. I'm still in Arizona.
Oh, okay. All right, do you have plans to come back to San Carlos?
Yes, before Christmas sometime.
And then Carolyn and Jim, you were talking about maybe coming back, but wouldn't think seriously about it until after the first.
People have been turned down at the border because we're the border's closed between Canada and the United States, and some people tried to cross and they got 10 minutes down there talking to a border guard, sent back, and had to quarantine for 2 weeks.
I
in Canada.
Saw that. Hey, when you have to quarantine in Canada, are there people checking to make sure you're quarantined?
When we came back last year, it was very casual, but I understand it's more formal now. You have to actually present a plan of what you're going to do. We just made our own plan and did it.
Yeah, I was curious how much of that was just, you know, spin, like don't try and come to the States. We're going to make you quarantine when you come. I just kind of encouragement or if they had a rigid thing that everyone was going through.
People who tried it and got caught, and it was, in the media. But you can fly to Mexico. One can fly directly from British Columbia to Mexico City, for example.
We've been following some of that. I know of at least one story of Canadians that flew to Mexico and then had their car shipped to the United States and then imported.
I talked to that person.
Oh, you did?
Scott. Well, I contacted them through the Bulletin Board and asked for some details. And what he said was that he hired a company, gave me the name of the company. They're out of Langley, BC, which James will know. But anyways, they had their vehicle picked up in their at their home, And for $600 Canadian, they took it into the United States. Him and his wife flew to Seattle and then bused it to Bellingham, which is the border crossing, and their vehicle was delivered to their hotel. There were forms that they had to say that they were importing their own goods, that they owned them, that they weren't going to sell them, you know, that kind of a paperwork that had to be done that the trucking company helped them do.
You lost me at they flew to Seattle. I thought that's what you were trying not to do.
No, they flew from British Columbia to Seattle, Washington. So it's a short flight. It's just across the line. But because they were in the air, they were able to do that. But if they were to drive across, they couldn't. So their vehicle went across by land. They went across by air, picked up their vehicle, and then drove to San Carlos.
Oh, now that is a different story.
And they arrived safely.
And they arrived safely.
Bravo.
And then the other couple that are from High River, Alberta, they piggybacked on with some, what I have discovered must be some very rich San Carlos residents, because they chartered a jet out of Calgary and flew down to Guaymas.
Oh, wow.
So 3.5 hours to do what takes us 27 hours. They got there direct. And I, again, contacted that company and I got the price tag. So it's a plane that holds 8 people. So you could divide it up amongst the 8 of you. And there is room for luggage and a dog, because that had to be asked. Anyways, about $40,000 each way.
But it's like a party bus, right? You can bring your own drinks and
they serve
music.
Carolyn, it's $40,000 total for the plane.
Oh, for the plane, yes, $40,000 for the planes.
Divided not each
people.
Eight and people.
How long did you say it took?
3 hours.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, that's $40,000 Canadian. That's hardly anything to the Americans.
Oh, well, that's considerably less than I was. That might be affordable.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, these stories are all interesting, but we are here for tech topics. Did anybody bring, or let me start with any recommendations? You guys reading or watching anything you want to share with the rest of the group? Any websites you've visited that we have to see for ourselves?
How about binging for the election results tonight?
That's what we're all going to be watching.
I want to do something else. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe just drink tequila.
Just tonight. That's your plan?
Until I pass out and I'll wake up in the morning and I'll know then.
Well, we have Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. I heard some other tech reporters talking about wanting to be out on a boat with no internet until next week.
Yeah. You have some Netflix?
Judy said you would wake up tomorrow morning and know. And I said nothing.
Right.
You will know nothing. It's not going to happen tonight, I don't think.
I think we're doing ourselves a disservice to assume we're going to know anything by tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, we'll know something.
Yeah, well, we know what's going to happen regardless.
Exactly. We'll know something.
Well, I'm not going to get too excited about it until we're deep into the week and things are verifying or flipping or changing. Somebody was saying that they had seen a news report where they said that by the end of the night, if less than 50% of the votes are coming in, then those votes are not flipping an election. They are the election. We're just waiting for the count to come in. There's been a lot of talk about after midnight, it'll be flipping the election. It's like not if you don't have all the votes in. We're just waiting for the result.
It's just going to be chaos. If you just think it's going to be chaos, you'll be fine.
I hope it's going to be somebody lying on their back, pounding their heels and holding their breath till they turn blue.
I want you to do that until you find somebody doing that.
Did he have a recommendation, Chester?
Yes, I'm just on the second year of, let's see, excuse me, it's long on the railroad.
Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, I'm only in second year on Hell on Wheels, and I got a couple more years to go.
And I can't get it down here, so I'm still looking.
I want
to Scott.
Well, download Streamio. You should download Streamio right now, and you can do a presentation for all of us.
Scott, I got a question for Chester.
Shoot.
I want to know how big a trailer you have to load all those big screen TVs on to take with you.
Well, you know, I was really fortunate. I have three big screen TVs, and two of them are in Oregon. And I sold the house and all the furnishings. So all I did was load up personal items in a little 5x8 trailer. And then I got down here and ready to unload it, and I fell a couple of times. And so now I got a busted knee, and I'm going to have to wait to even unload.
Oh, no.
Oh, geez.
Sorry.
That's why we watch on Netflix.
Well, you might get through those next few seasons rather quickly then. You might be looking for more to watch after. How many seasons of Hell on Wheels is there?
Storm windows are all one piece on each of those. And they can come off and be handled on the ground. Right?
I'm going to mute Caroline and Jim, unless you guys wanted to hear about storm windows.
And no, Scott, I still have that same problem with Outlook, so I'm going to need your help.
Okay. I should have some time later this afternoon. So it sounds like you're available. I'll get a hold of you after the meeting.
Yeah. I'm available.
Not going anywhere. Well, in our recommendations, we normally talk about different movies, TV, books, websites, applications. Did anybody try the Skyview application somebody was recommending last? Somebody last Saturday or the last meeting was saying we could use Skyview to see the space junk.
I downloaded it but forgot all about it, so I will look at it one of these evenings.
I found the website and put a link to last Saturday's meeting on last Saturday's meeting's post. I put a link to their website. But what was strange is I couldn't find anything except iPhone on their website. I went into the Google Play Store and found a copy of their app right there. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means they're pulling away from their Android release and they're going all in with just iPhone. But I couldn't find any Android mention except for an award, which I mean, maybe their website is just poorly maintained. But their website, when you go to their main domain name, which I'm sorry, I don't have right in front of me. When you go right to their domain name, it immediately forwards you to the iPhone page and talks about the application and points you at the Apple Store to download that app. As I traverse the website, I find a page where they're kind of patting themselves on their back and showing off awards that they've gotten. And one of the awards was an Android award. So it's obvious they've done Android software. But I couldn't find a page dedicated to Android. I couldn't find a link to the Google Play Store. I couldn't find a place to download it. But then I go right into the Google Play Store. And really, for me, it's just aesthetics. Because I wanted to have a link on our website that points right to the app. And I normally do that to the originator, so that you can tool around and look at their documentation and see what they have to say about the app. The App Store presentation is pretty bleak most of the time. It's got people love it, people hate it, here's some pictures from it, download it with this button. And I like going to the manufacturer's website because then you get to read the history of it and see how people are using the app. Well, I couldn't find that for Android.
It's Skyview.
Skyview. In the Google Play Store, it exists.
Skyview.gsfc.nasa.gov, possibly.
That's not the developer of the app.
Really? It's the Internet's virtual telescope.
Well, I was going on the name Skyview, which is copyrighted.
That's what I typed in. It's because you're not using Dogpile as your search engine. And if you use Dogpile as your search engine, the first thing that comes up is Skyview Lite on the Google Play Store.
But that's from a company called Terminal 11.
Well, there's a Skyview Virtual Observatory.
Virtual. I think that might be something different, which I would totally be into, too.
It could be. I just...
Skyview Virtual Observatory. So what about an app for it? Skyview Lite. That's the same app.
Uh-huh.
From the same company.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I go to the NASA page. I don't think these two things are related.
No.
No. I don't see an app on the NASA page, and I see no reference to NASA on the app page. SkyView clients, SkyView in a jar, SkyView. Yeah, I don't. What I see is I see hooks if you are like an educational institution that's doing their own modeling and they want access to this data that NASA has. But I don't see an actual app like we were talking about on Saturday. That seems to be available, SkyView Lite and a full version, from Terminal 11. And if you go to Terminal 11's website, it immediately takes you to the iPhone version, even though they have a version in Google Play Store. And that's what I was kind of talking about. Anyway, I put links to both the iPhone version and the Android version on last week's meeting if anybody's interested in taking a look at it. I did exactly what Judy did. I downloaded it and forgot about it. Didn't even check it out.
Scott, I've read an interesting book. It's American Dirt. And it's the story of people traveling from South America and Mexico to the United States via the top of trains. It's a very interesting story.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the United States, like hobos on the roof.
No, it's called American Dirt is the name of the book.
Yeah, Kate, that one was last year. Our book club in San Carlos read it. Yeah. American Dirt is the story of a woman from southern Mexico who gets involved in having to escape from the cartel, and she travels up to Canada, but I mean up to the U.S. But yeah, the story was interesting. And when we were traveling in Mexico, I saw the people riding on the top of the train.
Yeah.
And one thing that came out in that American Dirt was that you think that they're only just riding north, but I too have seen it where they're on the top of the trains and they're heading south. And it had to do with the way the trains are traveling and where they're going, or why somebody would ride the train.
Now, this isn't that controversial story that we had talked about a few weeks ago, or is this that same story?
It's
the same story, I think.
Okay. Well, I am reading a Star Wars novel. I don't know if any of you are interested in that. I would only recommend it if you'd read 30 other Star Wars novels before this one, because then you can get the full experience.
Well, Scott, we were able to get Mandalorian, and we watched the first episode.
Oh, it was so good! It was so good. They really leaned deep into being a cowboy western, didn't they?
He saved the whole town.
How much fun it was to have Timothy Oliphant in there, too, because he's just like the cowboy guy, right?
Well, he's from Justified. Yeah, people here have watched Justified, and we were watching it, and Bill said, who is that? And then we figured it out.
It was so good.
I have to comment, though, it's not any good for anybody who's binging, because they only come once a week.
Yeah, if you're interested in just doing 9 hours of The Mandalorian, you're going to have to wait until the end of the season to do it.
Exactly.
Scott, did you listen to the music that I sent to you?
I did. That was awesome. That was a great example of what you were talking about. Flick music.
Filk.
I got my L in the wrong place. Filk music. Band from Argo.
Is that what it was called?
I think so.
Yeah, they couldn't go back to that planet anymore.
It's folk music. It's sci-fi folk music. I'll put a link to what you sent me because it's funny.
Okay.
What else? I was going to say one more thing about The Mandalorian. Oh, here you go, Bill. I don't know if you realized this or not, but that last shot, you are assumed that guy that is staring off at the two suns is supposed to be Boba Fett. You're supposed to assume that.
Yes, I understood that.
So,
well, you look at the credits. If you go into IMDb and look at the credits for that Mandalorian, it lists him as Boba Fett.
Okay, so then you probably know what I'm about to tell you is that actor was the child actor that played the child Boba Fett in episode 2.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, he is the same actor that played the little boy in episode 2 that was Jango Fett's son that they'd given him as his own personal son in the clones. I mean, they're all clones of Jango Fett, so they all look the same, But instead of using the actor that was Jango Fett, they used the actor that played the boy. And what I learned that I didn't know before is that that actor has been voicing the boy in the Clone Wars cartoon series. So he's really attached to these Star Wars properties as Boba Fett. So just a little bit of fan service there. You know, we've talked about Mandalorian, and last Saturday we were talking about how do you do that in Mexico? What is Mexico offering? I mean, obviously Mandalorian is recognized throughout the planet, and it's only been available on Disney Plus. So how is it that Star Wars fans are getting to watch this and other content that's exclusive to Disney Plus in Mexico or other countries? And after our meeting, I went out and I did a little bit of research, and I found out that this season, The Mandalorian and other stories are being broadcasted on the Fox channel in Mexico. So if you are watching Mega Cable, you can catch these shows on the Fox channel starting November 15th. And they're going to run in like on-air programming. And the first two episodes of The Mandalorian will run together. Actually, the 15th at 10 p.m. There's other stories or other programs that will be doing the same thing throughout November. They'll be Disney Plus programs, but they will be offered on Fox and FX in Mexico. So I found that kind of interesting. I don't think it really applies to many of us because we all have our own ways of watching these programs down here. We figured it out a long time ago. We're always figuring out new ways to do it. But I did find it interesting that they would be rebroadcasting on Fox in Mexico. I also found that Disney Plus, which they've been promising to bring to Latin America, will be available as a service starting November 17th, 2 days after The Mandalorian airs on Fox. So I find this much more interesting and probably more relevant to all of us. I can't wait until November 17th. I have kids. I have a family. Disney controls so many properties now that it is going to be the one source clearinghouse for all these properties. And it'll be available in Mexico. And I'm hoping what Disney Plus will function like Netflix does. I can take my buddy's Disney Plus account from the United States and sign in Mexico and have access to the same content or similar content. They have said that Disney is revoking, well, revoking isn't their word, it's my word, but basically Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic, these properties have been licensed out to Netflix and Amazon Prime and other streaming services. They're pulling those all back, and they will only be available through Disney Plus or these other licensing agreements like they have it with Fox right now. So I find the Disney Plus offering in Latin America much more more intriguing news for all of us, because there's a good chance that you have a Disney Plus account somewhere in your circle of family, and you could immediately start taking advantage of that down here. I will give you an update after we get through to the 17th. When it starts up, I'll be trying to sign into it.
I'll try as well, because I have a Disney Plus account through a friend as well. So.
Oh, that's great.
We'll see. Yeah. So, I do have a question about, do you use eBay Mexico?
Well, I guess I do. I use eBay and have things shipped to Mexico, but I haven't gone through like eBay.mx.
I hear that it's really good.
Yeah? Is it different? Like Amazon is different.
I don't know. The person I was talking to uses it more than she uses. She doesn't use Amazon Mexico very often. She uses eBay Mexico quite often.
eBay MX just takes you to eBay.com. So that's what I'm doing when I do eBay. And depending on what vendor I'm using, I either have it sent to the United States or try and get it sent down here. I've waited a month for something to show up through customs through using eBay shipped to Mexico. But all this stuff is getting easier with this global international shipping now. And I got to say, Mercados Libre is owned by eBay and has been the Latin American eBay for years. And I've had such great experiences with Mercados Libre. And recently, I've had better experiences than I've had Amazon experiences. What else we got going on? Let's see. Oh, the new live-action Mulan will be on that, Disney Plus. And all the new Marvel series that are coming out. Hamilton and all the classic Disney movies. I can't wait. Has anyone brought any tech topics they would like to share with our group today? Questions? I open the floor.
I have one.
Go, Paul.
My wife has a laptop. It's a HP laptop, and the screen is separating from the top cover.
Ooh.
And so when she opens it, there's a gap there, and she closes it with her fingers, you know, squeezes it together. And the other day, it was on. She was not attending it, but it was sitting next to her chair on, and it made a loud pop. And my sister-in-law ran over to it, expecting to see a black screen, and it was projecting fine, you know.
Okay.
But she smelled what electricians call a brown smell. And my question is, should we check the battery or remove the battery? Because this one that I'm using now has no battery in it. Sony took the battery out to make it work.
Okay.
And it always has to be plugged in. But at least the battery is not swelling and getting ready to explode.
Right. I wonder what that pop was from. If you smelled an electrical burn smell, is that screen, are you concerned that there is like a loose connection or a broken board in there?
I would think that because of the gaposis of the screen, that maybe there's a wire that parted and sparked. But
there isn't a lot of electricity in the screen itself. There's a backlight that should be LED or even fluorescent. That's not a lot of electricity. It's LCD, so that's not a lot of electricity.
Okay.
So I mean, my feeling to begin with is maybe there isn't a smell associated with it, and the pop was something like feedback over the speaker. Like when you've got something that's broken or it has been dropped and you've got a bad ground in there now, that it can do things like that, make pop and static feedback across the speaker, and maybe it was something like that.
Well, we plan to send it back in because it's still under warranty. So, well, we'll tell them everything that's wrong with it.
Yeah. How did the screen start separating? Just manufacturer defect?
I guess so, because, you know, as you open the cover, it puts more pressure on the shell than it does on the screen. I said that maybe the hinge was getting dry or something like that, and I might give it a little shot of lube.
You would have to get into the hinges, and you'd almost have to be able to touch the hinges to make a difference with some lubrication.
Okay, well this one I have right here, the hinges are quite visible, but anyway.
Yeah. If they're not, if you can't get to the hinge, I wouldn't shoot anything at them. I would, because you have a better chance of spraying lube on something that more important that shouldn't be lubricated.
Okay.
I do these things so you don't have to. Learn from my mistakes and don't do that.
Maybe I'll check the battery and see if it's hot or something like that too.
Yeah. Maybe the pop is really strange, though. I would if you can isolate the pop to electricity, then I'd stop using it, because you don't know. You don't want a device arcing electricity in the corner of your house.
No.
But it's a good thing it's still under warranty. It's an HP, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got it from Costco, so there's a long warranty period for Costco.
Oh, that's great. They might even, if they can't deal with it, they might even offer you another model.
Yeah.
And take, since it, I'm sorry, go ahead,
take
Paul.
This one and take this one and put it in the landfill.
Yeah, that's where it should be.
We used to say at Fish and Game, you know, that anything like that would become a rock god sinker.
A rock god sinker? What's
rock,
that mean?
Rock god. You know, for fish, rock cod.
Oh, a rock cod sinker. Oh.
Yeah, you know. Attach bait to it and send it down.
Back in the day when I was helping people with computers that were the big towers, and it would finally reach its last legs of life, and they go, well, what do I do with it now? I'd be like, attach a chain to it and use it as an anchor on your boat. Can't do that with these little ultra books now, though. They're too light. I think you can stick them under a door, like a door wedge. Your MacBook Air would make a beautiful door wedge, keep the door propped open. I'm just looking for other topics. I went through my Disney Plus topics. We went through
Scott.
Oh, yes, sir.
This, again, a non-technical topic, but I believe Obama said that's what they did with his pandemic playbook. They used it for a doorstop.
For a doorstop?
Yeah. They just threw it away and set it down on the floor and used it to keep a door open.
Right. I'm sorry, it's too soon. It's not even funny. It's just depressing. What else do I have here? I did not share. I've got an article here that I was going through called the 10 truly helpful Windows 10 tools you might not know about. And I started going through it going, okay, well, I might not know about these, but I can learn about them. Or some of them I do know about. And it brought me into this space. One of the reasons I was interested in this is because the latest version of Windows 10 promises to expand on the Windows key tab timeline. And what this is when you hit the Windows key and the tab key, it brings up, let me just do a little presentation here. It brings up all the things you're working on. So in this article, it shows a picture here. I don't know if you guys can see it yet. Come on. I hope you're looking at my window. And so if I hit the Windows key and the tab button, might take a second because I'm in presentation mode. Did you see that? Are you guys seeing that? So right across the screen here, you'll see a Chrome window and, oh, I left my GIMP photo editor open. So these are programs that are running. And what they're adding is if you're using Microsoft Edge, the last five web pages are going to be in this, kind of like your timeline. And the idea is to bring all your activities together into one place. So you're looking at everything you're doing now and things that you've done in the past. With a quick button press, you can either go to the next thing you're working on or go back to something you had previously been working on. Now, Microsoft does these kinds of things on steroids, because if you sign into, I'm going to stop presenting and just rant, because they have set this up. If you're running Windows 10, then the idea is you can take these kinds of activities with you. And if you sign in to your Windows, your Microsoft Services account, you are able to bring your experience from one computer over to the other computer. And I'm making motions like this because I have a computer in front of me here and one off to my side. And what I was really looking for, one of these items in here, is cloud clipboard. I don't know how many of you have more than one Windows 10 computer in your life, but the idea is that you can copy something on one computer and find it on another computer. So I could copy a graphic from this computer and go over to this computer and paste it on something. Or I could find text over on this computer and copy it, and I would be able to paste it on this computer. I haven't gotten this to work yet. They say it works. I can't get it to work. And it's the first time, and I'm not suggesting this to you folks. I will when this stuff is working bulletproof, I'll do more than just complain about it. But I'm definitely not suggesting you guys get worked up about trying to make this stuff work, because it's not working for me. What did happen, though, was kind of funny. This is the first time that I've signed in with my Microsoft services to both these computers. It forced me to put a pin. Pardon me. It forced me to give up my local login, so a password that I normally use to get logged into my computer is still set, but not required. So I'm going to end up forgetting that password at some point, and that's going to bite me in the ass. So I get to look forward to that when something goes wrong and I have to go in as administrator. I'm going to have to pull out of my butt some password that I have not been using for 6 months or a year. But it's still in there. It's definitely in there. To make things convenient, it forced me to set a PIN number on my computer. It didn't give me an option. I do these things just trying to be a normal person. I try not to think about it. I'm like, I'm going to follow the instructions and see where it leads me. So the instructions forced me to make a PIN on my computer. So now I'm not using my Microsoft Services password. So I might forget that password too, which is unfortunate because that's the password you're going to need if you forget the other password. So make sure you've written any of these things down if you've done this. And now I'm using a PIN on my computer, which for all practical purposes is a brand new password. It's just a less secure password because it's just like a PIN. It's a 4-digit numeric code. However, it's very easy to log in with a PIN, with a 4-digit numeric code. But I never got the effect I was hoping for. I've got everything set up the way they said you're supposed to have it set up. I have yet to see myself copy from one computer and see it show up on the other computer. Even though they have a global clipboard, you bring up your global clipboard by holding the... Oh, am I doing it right now? Thought I was doing that right. Yeah, there it is. By holding down the Windows key and hitting the V key, which is kind of interesting. Control V, if you're a keyboard shortcut person, that's a paste command. But the Windows key and a V brings up a list of things that you have saved, allowing you to grab one of those things. I'm just going to switch over to my display here. So here I am just looking at a window. Maybe I want to paste something. I hit the Windows key and V, and it brings up this clipboard. If you guys can make that out. And these are all different things that I have copied into my clipboard over time. So this is kind of cool. I do a lot of cutting and pasting when I work on stuff. And so this running tally is cool. And it's supposed to be synced up to my cloud services with Microsoft. And I'm supposed to be able to see that same running tally over on the computer behind me. And that's what's not working. Is that computer behind me has its own running tally, and neither the two will meet. So it's not working the way it's supposed to work. But it is kind of cool that there's this running tally of the things that have been copied so that I could go back to something. In fact, I'm now realizing how very far back it goes. I'm looking at stuff that goes back to 2 days ago in this running clipboard tally. So that in itself might be an advantage to doing this, is just having access to that. Say that again, Chester.
Is that stored in the cloud?
It's supposed to be. That's the way this is supposed to work. And to set it up, you go into this, where is it? Clipboard, cloud clipboard. So if you go into your settings in Windows 10, we'll bring that up in a moment. Where'd my, oh my, sorry, I've, my settings are coming up on a different screen. I've got three screens in front of me. So here's settings. And where do you go into? I think it was system. Go into system. And then down at the bottom in this left column, there's one that says clipboard. And again, I don't get great performance out of my computer because I'm recording this meeting and having the meeting. And here is clipboard history. Oh, okay. So this is the thing. So you can have clipboard history without syncing. It's the syncing portion of this that's not working. But if you click it on, the clipboard history, then it will keep that running tally that we were just talking about. This Windows key V, allowing you to go back to all the different things that you have been copying. So, yeah. Clipboard history, good. Clipboard syncing, not working. Don't know why. Now I'm going to be mad if I sort it out right now. I'm looking at it like, hey, wait a second. Did I check that radio button? Because if I didn't check that radio button, maybe that's the reason this isn't working. System. Got to double check. I'm sure. I've already checked this. Yeah, there it is. Right here. Text copied to the clipboard is synced to your other devices. It lies. It is not. Cannot find it anywhere. Apparently, though, those kinds of things can follow you to your phone as well. But don't do that either. Because what happens is it sends your phone a link and you install a new launcher for your Android device. I actually don't know what happens on an iPhone device. But for these things to happen, and they don't work on there either, you have to install a new start screen for your Android phone. Hey, Maggie! Which is fine, but it's not what you want to do if you're trying to share your clipboard. You don't want to discover that to share your clipboard, you're going to change everything about the way your phone works. I think you would rather change everything about the way your phone works for a good reason and be familiar with it long before you're trying to share your clipboard from your PC over to your phone. And the number of people that actually need to do that is probably non-existent in our group. So again, I don't think you need to do it. I think this is something that's a real niche stuff. I think that if I was I do work. I'm working in my office. Maybe I want to send something over to my phone. Maybe that's worth having a completely different way of using your phone because that's your workflow. That's what you set up for yourself. But there isn't anything casual about these things that have been included in Windows 10. And so I wouldn't casually set it up for yourself, in my opinion. I would use one of these things, and I'm just going through this list because these are the topics I've got. One of these things is file history. And we've talked about it a little bit in backups in Windows 10, but I would definitely turn it on. If you have an external hard drive that you can point to, file history will keep a copy of all your data, and every time you change something, it will add that change to the file history. So you can go back through on, you can look at a file as it's changed over time. Very, very valuable Windows 10 feature to have. And consequently, if you're a Macintosh user, that's what Time Machine does for you. And file history is new as of Windows, well, Windows 8, but nobody used it in Windows 8. So I comfortably say it's new as of Windows 10. But the Macintosh has been doing it ever since they came up with Time Machine. So if you have an external storage device and you're using Time Machine, it's exactly the same thing. You can look at a file and you can traverse back in time throughout the changes of that file. File history makes updates every hour to your computer. So if you're working on a project, I've been doing a lot of graphics. Graphics take a number of hours. You're manipulating photos and putting titles on things. And so you're working on that one file over time. You're saving and saving. Every hour, a new copy of that is backed up. So if I want to go back an hour, I could look in file history to find a copy of it. A very worthwhile option in Windows 10. There's some other stuff in here, but... Oh, here's one. Windows Reliability Monitor. I don't know if you folks have heard about this before, the Reliability Monitor. I'm hoping that when I switch over to my display like this, that it's a high enough quality. Now, it doesn't need to be a real high quality, but I'm hoping you get the gist of what I'm talking about. This is a graphic of the Reliability Monitor. In Windows 10, you can bring it up by hitting the Start button and just typing Reliability. R-E-L-I-A, and you see, I didn't get through the word reliability, and it's got it right at the top of the search list, View Reliability History. It's got a blue flag next to it, and I'll click on that. I check reliability history on all my customers' computers, because it's a very quick way to see the health of the computer. This is a metric that is formed over time. And mine is way out of whack, but I know why it's out of whack. I've been dealing with a problem with a piece of hardware. And so this is a fictitious number here. In fact, my number is probably not, it's not even showing there. But in a system that's, like I would look at this and go, well, something's wrong there. I got to fix that because it's not giving reliable information. It has this blue line up here at 10. And this is a metric. It's score for your computer over time. It's going to be from 0 to 10. Mine has a flat line at the top. That means there's a problem. That's absolutely wrong. It should never be a flat line at 10. It can be a staggering line, a bar chart going up and down. Each one of these red flags is a place where this computer has had a problem. And just having the red flag should have caused it to drop the metric, but it didn't. So my computer has two problems in it. One is it's getting these red flags, and the other is it's not reporting it to the reliability monitor correctly. Because what I should be seeing is a reliability score down, down, maybe a 5 or a 4. And what I'm seeing is just a flat line across the top of a 10, even though all these red flags are here. Let me go through weeks, days, weeks. So when I look at a reliability monitor of one of my customers, I can get a really quick feel for whether the computer needs help. I look through these red flags over time, and I try and determine whether there's a persistent problem. I try and associate activities with the flags. And if you can see, the descriptors at the bottom of the monitor is telling me about those critical events, these red flags. And then you also have blue flags, which are just informational events. A critical event would be something like hardware error, which is the problem I know I've been dealing with. An informational event would be something like successfully uninstalled a program or successfully installed a program. So the reliability monitor is a great way to see if your computer's healthy real quick, your Windows 10 computer. You can just bring it up. If you're having goofy issues with your computer and you just want to see if the computer thinks it's healthy, this is an easy way to see whether things look healthy or not. And then these red flags could enlighten you to where to find a problem. This particular one here says that the Microsoft News application stopped working. I don't know why it stopped working, but I don't have a line of them. It didn't happen the day after, or the day after, or the day after. So it might have just been a one-time thing. Whereas this one right here, this Windows hardware error, it is, there it is twice in one day. Here it is one time on Halloween. Here it is on the 21st, 1, 2, 3, and it got shut down incorrectly all at the same time. Yeah, and I'm very aware of this. I've been trying to solve this problem. In my problem I'm looking at right here has to do with the Trusted Module platform, and that's used for encrypted certificates on the BIOS of the computer. It directly affects the booting of the computer, but it also affects things like fingerprint sensors or the cameras that are doing the face unlock. And my computer's been spitting out errors from that module for months now, and I have not been able to resolve it. So, reliability monitor, I think's worth looking at. The
When you get on my computer this afternoon, why don't you run that?
Yeah, we'll take a look at it, Chester. Give us an idea of the health on your computer. The file history is another one that I would recommend. Oh, and Storage Sense. I actually didn't say much about that. The newest versions of Windows 10 allow you to set areas of your computer, standard areas, that get monitored for their use. Things like the recycle bin, but also things like temporary folders. Your download folder. And a download folder is a great example. You can treat it like your recycle bin. You can set an amount of space that is dedicated to your download folder. And then Windows periodically monitors it. And if you've gone over that space, it would start deleting the oldest things to maintain that storage area at that constraint. It's called Storage Sense. I'm going to put my Storage Sense. Let me go into settings again. Because there's actually a couple of different things under storage. Things do not come up as fast when we're in the meeting.
Is that S-E-N-T-S?
S-E-N-S-E, Sense. Storage Sense. Your recycling bin, your download folder are the silent space eaters on your Windows PC over time. They can bloat to gigabytes and gigabytes in size, especially if you regularly update your discrete graphics drivers. And so it's under Start Setting System Storage. So Start, Windows Settings, System, and then down that same left column that we found the clipboard, there's one on here called Storage. And this is pretty cool. This is something that we've never gotten in our previous Windows, but it has all these different areas it looks to give you an idea where you're using up your space. The Pictures folder, the Documents folder, the Apps and Features folders, Temporary Files, your Music folder, anything other. Video, OneDrive, Desktop, show even more categories. So what it's doing right now, what we're watching in real time, is it shows how much space I'm using. Look at that. Wow, I'm using almost a terabyte of space on my hard drive. And then it is breaking those into categories, showing me where the majority of my my usage is. And I know from experience we're going to find it in my pictures library. Because if you guys aren't aware of this, but if you take pictures and videos with your phone or camera and you use Windows to synchronize it so that all those pictures and videos get into your computer, well, they all get into your computer under pictures, not videos. So the reason my pictures folder is so high is because it's full of videos as well. Configure, okay, storage since, here we go. So under storage, I guess I don't have to make that smaller. Under storage since, if you're running it, it says here, we cleaned up to 1.32 gigabytes of space in the past month. It's supposed to run when we've got low free disk space. It also runs, I've got my temporary files set to delete temporary files every 30 days. Delete temporary files that are not being used by my apps. So that's happening regularly. Delete files in the recycle bin every 30 days. Delete files from download folder if they've been there for more than 2 months. So as you're downloading things, in fact, this is a good thing to be aware of. If you're downloading things and keeping them in your downloads folder, I see that sometimes, and you've updated to Windows 10, and this is on and you're not aware of it, things would start disappearing from that downloads folder. So if you've gone to your downloads folder and there isn't something that you thought should be there, it could be you have storage since turned on. And it's following its rules, and it's set to delete them if they've reached a certain age. If they've matured, in my case, to 60 days, then they get erased. This is a piece that I didn't look at till just now, but this is interesting. I've got stuff in my iCloud Drive, and this is an option that you could turn on to make it online only. So say that you are a Microsoft 365 subscriber and you're putting your documents in the cloud in that 1 terabyte of space. That cloud is synchronizing with your computer, but to save space on your computer, you could set it up so that if you did not open a file over a period of time, then it would remove it from your local space and leave it in your cloud. Kind of automatic housekeeping. I mean, this would make sense if you were, like I do a lot of client work. If I was backing up, like I'm working for Cheryl and I'm doing some work for her and I'm saving pictures or backups or things like that. And I got a whole week of stuff that I'm doing. And then I don't do work again for Cheryl for another 6 months. Then that would be left in my cloud space, but removed automatically from my local space, just continually keeping my local computer clean, good housekeeping, extra space. But it's set as an automatic process, whereas in the past, we used to have to go and do those kinds of cleanups ourselves. You had to intentionally move that to the trash because I know I have a backup of it somewhere else. It's like I need to free up some space. So that's cool stuff. I'll put a link to this article. There's just stuff in it that I don't think is cool. That I think nearby sharing, haven't seen it work. Cloud clipboard, haven't seen it work. Virtual desktops, they're very cool, but I don't know if you guys would use them. The idea of virtual desktops is you've got so much stuff going on, you need another desktop to keep track of it. And so if you're looking on my screen right now. I bring up the task viewer we were looking at earlier. And in the upper right hand or left hand corner, there's this button that says New Desktop. And if you click on that, it creates a new desktop space. So I've got desktops here that are working. I could take a job. I'm going to take the settings window and I'll move it over to the second desktop. Hope you guys can see what I'm doing. And now that resides on a second desktop. I hope you guys can see this and what this appears like. But so here's a clean desktop except for the settings window. I've used virtual desktops on a Macintosh for a long time because I run the bed and breakfast in Alaska. And I have a computer that I leave on all the time. And so I have a desktop for my regular computer work. And then I switch to another desktop that is all the bed and breakfast stuff. It's my correspondence, my email, my Chrome profile, my calculator. All of that happens on a separate desktop. I find virtual desktops very useful for somebody like me, but I have trouble figuring out how they would be useful to any casual user of Windows 10. But I'll put this link on today's meeting if you guys want to go through it. They call it 10 Truly Helpful Windows 10 Tools that are available in Windows 10. That you might not know anything about. And you can run through these timeline, virtual desktop, cloud clipboard, near sharing. If you do start playing with this, if you get the cloud clipboard to work, please let us know. I want to know because I have yet to see it work. And I'll tell you one of the side effects of my messing around with this is that the clipboard didn't get shared with the other computer, but my background has. Now all my Windows computers I'm signed into have Batman on the background. It didn't share the clipboard, but it shared my personal preferences. And that's kind of annoying because I use backgrounds as a mental indicator of what computer I'm working on. So I go to this computer, I expect it to be Batman. But I go to this computer over here, I expect it to be Jedi's. And never the two should intertwine. I have yet to figure out how to stop it from doing that. But I will, probably by next Tuesday, I will have figured out how to stop it from doing that. We'll see what happens. Does anybody have any comments, questions, or other topics they'd like to bring up?
I have one I can mention.
Go for it, Chester.
For those of you that may be stock or bond investors, there is a book that came out last month called The Psychology of Money, and it's a fascinating read.
A Psychology of Money. I'm going to put it on our recommendations list here.
A Psychology of Money. And I got it through Amazon and read it on Kindle.
Does it feel relevant to where we are right now with the way our... Yes, oh, it does?
And very much. Because it just came out last month, so it's right on the money. On the money.
Does it explain... Does it help explain where we're at right now with the tech companies holding up so much of the stock market?
No, not so much that. As the impact of what the Federal Reserve is doing with interest rates and its impact on the market. And it's just a good read from historical and prospective uses.
Well, thank you, Chester. That's a great recommendation. I'm just making notes to myself. Does anyone else have any comments, tech topics, questions, problems they're trying to solve? Everything's perfect.
Well, I have another question.
Go ahead, Jester.
I have a sale for my bodega in San Carlos, and sometime in the near future, sometime this month, I and my grandkids have to come down there and move our stuff. And I'm curious about where San Carlos is with respect to the virus, especially because of my age.
You know, Chester, I've been following it, the numbers coming out almost daily, and they're very low. Pardon me. I keep posting them on San Carlos's Facebook group, Expats Living Through COVID. There's a group, Expats Living in San Carlos During COVID-19. I think that's the name of the group. And so I keep posting what I find there so we can go back and look at it. And what we're seeing is every day we've got a couple of cases or no cases. We have a couple of deaths or no deaths. We have just recently, the state of Sonora has switched from yellow to red. But the numbers that are making those decisions on the state, I don't believe reflect what's happening in Guaymas or San Carlos. There are a couple of municipalities up towards Texas that are just in full-blown crisis right now. And I think they're skewing the numbers for the state, and they're affecting state policy. And in my opinion, I'm a little disappointed I cannot find an exceptions list. I think there should be an exemption list where a municipality can look at some numbers and say, well, that's not us. And the reason this bothers me is because if there is an exemption list, then there's this inferred, these are the rules for us too. But there's so little activity happening locally that I don't imagine any enforcement, either volunteer or mandated enforcement, is going to be out there. And that's what bothers me.
Can I speak to that?
Go ahead, Maggie. Oh,
I was going to say, I'm living with someone whose health is very fragile, and knock on wood, we've both avoided it. When you're down here, I would suggest you always wear a mask if you go into a public place. Don't go into a crowded place. Stay away from bars and nightclubs.
And they're closed now, so...
And weekends, I don't go to grocery stores on the weekend unless I go at 7 o'clock in the morning. I think that your behavior down here shouldn't be any different than it is in the States, and you should be safe.
Good. Thanks. That's good information. And I was just going to say, well, we will have this conversation in the few weeks ahead before I make the trip.
Boy, isn't that, and you should, because isn't that what makes the difference, is what's happening right now? Not what happened 2 weeks ago, but what's happening right in this moment. And that's one of the problems with these numbers that keep coming out. It makes it hard to wrap your head around what's happening here locally, because you have to think back 14 days to 28 days ago. These numbers reflect how we were behaving then. I mean, because of the gestation period of getting sick.
Also, I don't know if you all heard, but apparently our governor has it now, Claudia.
Oh, she does.
And that's what I was told this morning.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, mild case, and she's working from home. But there's somebody who's interacting with people on a daily basis, and who knows what the crowds are like where she's working. If you're in your own home, and like I said, you just avoid crowds. And I hate to say it, but avoid young people too, because they're not wearing masks, and they can have it and not know it. So
sure don't feel like
you would lose up there.
In my opinion, I sure don't feel like we have the kind of problems that are going on in the United States. You go into just about any business and masks are mandatory. Everyone that works there is wearing a mask. There's there isn't anyone complaining that they have to wear a mask. You're just not dealing with that atmosphere attitude around here. But there are people that are vacationing. There are people at the beaches. There are people going out to the bars. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with these new restrictions, because bars and restaurants have to be closed by 10. On the weekend, they're going to have to be closed by 8. There's curfew in place now. The nightclubs are supposed to be closed. These are all state mandates. But the concern, at least from what I've seen with the numbers I've seen, I've been following, you can get sick in San Carlos. I've said, like, this is a weird way to say it, but you can get sick here locally. There are ICU beds. There's treatment available. We're not overrun like some places in the United States are right now. There are free beds, and that's what all this is about, is to maintain those services, not to overwhelm the health services. We're not overwhelmed locally. We're ready locally.
One of the things that kind of surprised me, even though I currently have no interest, was the report that the marina is closed.
It's all to deter people from gathering. That's the best answer I have to it.
The marina isn't closed unless they're going to close it again.
I thought that was part of what they were doing. I thought that there was... Oh, now that I say that, maybe
I can report next week, because Saturday and Sunday in front of our house was just packed with tour boats, and the tour boats were packed with people.
Well, and Maggie, these new requirements started on Monday. They started yesterday.
Yesterday. So yeah. I can give you a better report next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm realizing now I didn't read anything about beaches or ports. So I don't know what those rules are. I didn't see any of them in the requirements. Somebody correct me if they've got the information.
And also, I never saw that we went to red. I saw we might go to orange.
If you look at the last slide in the Secretary of Health, the Secretaria de Salud por Sonora, the last slide shows that we're at red. It says Sonora is in rojo. And it was really, I had to look at it really well to understand that was the message they were sending us, because they left the word Sonora down by, in the slide. Isn't this funny? The visual cues, right? I'm dissecting a picture. They left the word Sonora down by the yellow light. And what they've been saying at the top of the slide is Sonora is in yellow. They say it in Spanish. They say it at the top of the slide, and then they have the word Sonora in yellow sitting right next to the SINAFRA, the traffic light, sitting right next to the yellow light. And the latest slide, they say at the top, Sonora is in red, in rojo. They left the name Sonora right next to the yellow light, and then they did the background of the name in red and the word Sonora in yellow. So it was very confusing, the way that they had written it. But it does say at the top of the slide that we've moved to red.
And what slide are you talking about?
On the presentation, you know, the Secretary of Health does a daily presentation of the numbers, yep. A tally.
Yep.
And that's what I'm talking about. At the end of that presentation, they hold up about a half a dozen slides, like a PowerPoint slides.
You're looking on the Facebook, the COVID Expats in San Carlos site?
Well, I've been reposting there.
Right.
But I would go right to follow the link of one of those, because I don't think this latest slide, maybe I didn't post this latest one, but go to the Secretary of Health that's providing those slides and then scroll through that timeline, and you'll find the last update was like 13 hours ago.
Uh-huh.
And then you can fast forward through the video to the last 30 seconds, and that's when they put up the slides.
Okay. Because on Radar Sonora, it doesn't say anything about it.
Yeah. I didn't see it anywhere except for the Secretary of Health. And I've had people ask me why I said it was in red, and I told them exactly what I told you. Isn't it, the Secretary of Health is the one that we're supposed to be looking at.
And exactly.
I think it was a confusing slide because everything about it looked like the yellow slide except for those indicators. They changed the word from amarillo to rojo, and they changed the color of the word Sonora to have a red background. So if you glanced at it, you'd think, oh, we're still in yellow. But if you took a moment to analyze the slide, you'd see, no, they took the time to say we're in red. And that's goes right along with these requirements that they've put to shut restaurants early, to restrict and have a curfew, and to shut down what they call dance halls, or at least that's how it translates in English, dance halls and nightclubs. They're shut down indefinitely right now. They're shut down until... and again, when we talk about these things, there's no absolutes in this world that we live in. There is not a department going out making sure these mandates are followed. So when I say they're shut down, that's in speech only. Actuality, we don't know what's happening. We don't know if they're going to challenge it and try and stay open. But according to state mandate, they're supposed to be shut down.
I'll remind you, there are two absolutes.
What's that, Chester?
Taxes and death.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, this is the part that bothers me, and these aren't really tech topics, but this is what bothers me, is that from monitoring the numbers and seeing such low activity locally, I really want to find an exceptions list, an exemption to these mandates, or we're going to watch the culture ignore them. And that's no good. We have enough trouble with enforcement as it is because we don't have enough enforcement. I use the analogy of our speed limits. They post our speed limits so low that everybody's breaking the law because everybody ignores the speed limit. And that's kind of what's going to happen here is they've posted these mandates statewide, and there are municipalities that definitely need to follow these mandates. Wymas does not appear to be one of those municipalities, but I can't find an exemption list anywhere. Somebody told me they had seen something like that, and it started me on the hunt, but I haven't found it.
For what it's worth, I went by Los Arbolitos about 2:30 yesterday afternoon, and it was packed.
Mm-hmm. And like
it usually is on the weekend.
The mandate would allow that until 10 o'clock tonight. Well, actually, no, it would. It would. Wow. Now that I say that, I'll double down on it because the mandate for outdoors is different than indoors. And Los Abuelitos, don't they have the palapa upstairs? And because that's outdoors, if they can social distance in there. Because we have, and I don't have it in front of me, but we have mandates now for restaurant occupancy indoors and outdoors, as well as gathering occupancy. We have mandates for quinceañeras, bodas, and weddings, parties of we have time limits on them. How many people can be involved? I think it's outdoors, if you're going to have a wedding or a quinceanera, they cannot last more than 2 hours. They can't have more than 50 guests. They must be outdoors. They must be wearing masks. They must be social distancing. That's the mandate. That's one of many mandates that we have. The indoor activities, they're even smaller groups. They're talking about groups of 20 and 10 people. Percentages that they're supposed to cut down their operations. if you're an indoor restaurant. All this coupled with the CDC coming out saying that it's less than 15 minutes people are getting infected. Do you guys see that? I personally, I'm very frustrated with the CDC throughout all this. They have pendulumed back and forth between science and politics so many times now that they've turned themselves into an unreliable source.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
You're talking about COVID enforcement on the rules. We have a news item here today or yesterday that some young guy, 20 years old roughly, had a party, a Halloween party, 250 people. The police showed up and gave him a ticket for $2,800 Canadian, but he's GoFundMe trying to get it pay other people to pay it for him. He's putting out a hard luck story.
Man, how is that going to work in? That would totally work in the United States. Would that work in? Thank you for turning this into a tech topic. that was a great pivot, Bill. Thank you for keeping me on track.
There you go.
Work in Canada.
Yeah, that's where.
Would it work? Would it work in Canada?
On the plus side, it's only about $15 US.
Yeah, probably not.
You don't think it would work in Canada there, Jim?
Well,
oh,
you know.
Shit. It'll work. There's enough people up here.
We expect them to play by the rules.
You know how to, how do you get Canadians? How do you get 50 Canadians out of a swimming pool?
Well, how do you?
Just ask them.
The other thing that I thought, the whole thing is communication, right? You saw a graph that the confusion was the color of the text as opposed to the background, that kind of thing. A lot of these organizations, you say they should give us a list of exemptions. Well, maybe they should only give you a list of where it is being enforced. You know, like it's so hard to decide. When do you say this is the rule? And when do you say this is the rule for these areas, but not these areas? And it just makes more questions.
Well, you're not wrong. In the same broadcast from the health department, they did not say that we were in red. They didn't vocalize it. They left it to the slide. But then they had a press release calling out two municipalities that are up towards Texas as definitely being in the red, which is very frustrating because that makes me feel like every municipality should have its own light, you know, indicator, and we should be able to see an indicator for Guaymas. And that indicator should dictate Guaymas mandates. And we haven't seen anything like that. There isn't anything saying Guaymas is in the yellow. The state hasn't said anything like Guaymas is in the yellow. What the state has said is the state is red. And they did that in the form of a slide. I mean, maybe my Spanish isn't good enough. Maybe I should go back and rewatch the broadcast and see if they make any mention of the state being in red. But I think they actually downplayed the fact that they have... Because they had a meeting with all the mayors of the municipalities, and this is the conclusion they drew. That the new state mandates were this, and the state is in red. But they didn't say it. They didn't vocalize it in the broadcast as far as what I watched. And then they left it to the slide at the end to say that they were in red. But then later there was a press release that didn't say the state was in red, but did say these two municipalities were. So a very confusing messaging.
Yeah. The other thing about, politician and scientist, we have a chief medical officer here that... she gets a lot of pressure from, parents saying, oh, you've got this list of symptoms that I'm supposed to check my child every day before I can send them to school. If they have anything on this list, they have to stay home for 10 days, you know. So then you've got the, you know, the whole business of I have to go to work, all these things. So now, and she, rightly so, she says, all right, we now have the research to say that if the children have one of these, they only need to stay home till the symptom goes away. If they have two of these, but she waited until she had the facts and figures, kind of thing, the statistics from our own municipality, the place that she could. She said, I've looked at the research from other provinces, from other countries. We look at it all, but you have to give it enough time so that you know what's actually going on in Guaymas, in San Carlos.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, that's actually, that's probably the best thing that we can do is be patient and let time wash over us, and the rules will shake themselves out. But it's so new. It's still so new. It's amazing to think we're not even a year into this thing. So everything we know about it is less than a year old.
Scott, one of the major problems with the whole system is that long delay in the feed loop. Like, you can put in the regulations, and the people say, well, a week later, say, see, it's not working. Nothing's working. And then 2 weeks later, when there's no expansion of the virus, they'll say, well, why the hell were we doing anything anyway? It wouldn't have had to do it in the first place. The feedback was way too far away.
You're describing most of my country.
Yeah. We're describing most of North America.
When I asked if the GoFundMe would work, I was just thinking back to there are funds that have already been put together because masks have become so political in the United States. There are groups that have put together funds to fight legal cases. So that GoFundMe would totally work. There would be people out there going, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be held liable for that. We're going to help you pay that off. That poor kid.
Well,
just being an American.
That poor kid with the AR-15 that killed two people in a demonstration has a GoFundMe. Like somebody started it up. They got $500,000 defense fund for this guy. He just literally walked into a crowd and shot two people.
I saw Kathleen's surprised face. You hadn't heard that before, had you? That's the most.
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
do you know what we do? Is we can key in the zip code, and we know the incident per zip code in our area.
Of shootings? Is that what you're talking about?
No. We're going back to COVID.
Oh.
But for example, you'll clearly see that around our college campuses, that zip code around Mesa, Tempe, and downtown Phoenix, is the incident level is much higher than other areas. So it's I like the point that you're making is to try and find out by area or zip code what your incident level is, because it as you're older, you're more thoughtful of where you're going to go.
Hey, where is that website that you're talking about? That's amazing.
You know, I'll find it. I don't have it at the top of my head, but I'll find it and give that to you because it's helpful.
Yeah, that would be great to know.
Yeah.
We have one the same in our province. It's called it's an interactive map. And again, though, there's a bit of a delay. You know, it'll say how many. My daughter-in-law told me the site that she can go to, and every Canadian school is listed, and it tells you how many cases inside the school. And she said it's about a 2 or 3 day delay, but, you know, within the week, you can know how many cases in each school. And that's a Canadian-wide website.
Can you send me a link to that as well? I'll put those on our Meet link. I just think it would be neat to look at that kind of stuff.
They have interactive maps out there, you know, technology again. But yeah, they are out there.
Well, and we've got those updates that have been put out to our Android phones and our iOS phones that are tracking COVID that you can opt into that will make announcements on your phone when you're in areas that are hot areas. So that's
the programs in Canada. There's one that the Canadian government have put together, and they're asking people to download. And what you do is, once you get a positive test result, you put it in. They give you a specific code, and you have to put it into the app. And then anybody that has been within so many feet or whatever, any phone that's been within so many feet of a declared positive case, you can get a notice. Like if I've got the app running on my phone. So Alberta had one, and we installed it on our phones right away. And every time we go out in public, we were supposed to turn it on. There was a problem with the iPhones, and they got that changed. But the big political issue right now is Alberta doesn't want to use the Canadian one. They want us to all use our own. And it's become totally ridiculous.
So you're saying there's a federal one and a province one, and your province has decided that they don't want to use the federal mapping. They want to use the Alberta one?
Yes. And British Columbia, where Carol and James are, is the same. The two Western provinces are not using it. The Canadian government is encouraging them all to use the same one. They say there's privacy concerns, there's different things, but yeah, it's become quite separatist.
It's just, this is crazy. If ever you wanted to have a federal government, this is the time to have a federal government. This is the time where we're all supposed to get in line under a central authority to tell us what to do. It's nuts.
Every country has their issues. Just say that as the election day is dooming.
Well, I just think about it. I've listened to commentators saying before, and I agree with them, that the United States form of government is not laid out for this kind of crisis. It's one of the weak points in the style of government we have, is that the first inclination is to leave it up to the states. And what the president did in the United States is what you expect of the United States. But if you're trying to stop a virus from rampaging through your country, that's not the way to do it. Or at least that's what we've learned is not the way to do it. Anyway, it is election day, so I hate to get too deep into politics on our computer club meeting.
Well, just to give you an idea, we live on an island that's 300 miles by about 80 miles, and there are 6 deaths, 0 in hospital right now. Six deaths since
total.
The beginning.
Total.
On your island. On your island.
Yeah. And there's 800,000 people live here. So people are quite respectful. They keep their distance on the streets, and people wear masks. There's plexiglass in all the stores, even the sort of little stores that you wouldn't really expect to so much. And it's not that we don't have sort of deniers or whatever, but they're few and far between.
Yeah, I feel that way about Mexico. Jim, sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Your island is a retirement center for Western Canada. The median age is over 60 on that island.
Only in some towns, you know, like ours is definitely where we are. It's over 60, but there, you know, there's the
Courtney
and Campbell River. There's industry in those places. They're all part of it. Anyway, got none in the hospital, which is a good thing. That means we're ready for trouble.
Well, we had 3 new cases in Guaymas last night. No deaths. So, and that's been kind of typical around here daily, is 2 deaths, 0 deaths, 3 cases, 5 cases, 2 cases, daily. That's what daily numbers kind of look like. We just went through 3 days with no new cases.
Oh, that's good.
But now, last night, we had 3 new cases. It wasn't last night, the night before, I think.
Yeah, but
it's a marathon.
Even in that, though, last night the results came out. So when were those tests done, and when were those people, you know, like it's.
Right. Like I was saying, that you really have to think back almost 28 days to get a full picture. You got to look through the whole month to get an idea of what led up to where that number came from.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we've passed our hour mark, and we've well passed it. It's 11:37 now, and so maybe this is a good point to draw our meeting to a conclusion. Is there any last-minute things that people want to make sure we get in? And keep in mind, you will have to hold your tongue till next Tuesday if you don't get it in now.
Well, Scott, I'm just wondering how you're going to manage for us poor people that are only in touch by Zoom, because normally when I sit and talk to you, I'm ordering my breakfast and endless coffee, and I've sat here for an hour and a half and there has been no breakfast.
I'm afraid we're missing the...
Esmeralda serving coffee.
That's right, we're missing the whole experience. Maybe we should invite Esmeralda just to join us.
Maybe Carolyn's not really talking. That's a good idea. Hey, Jim, nice to see you.
It's always good to see you guys.
I got a closing comment.
Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Good luck, America. You're going to need
it. Yes. God help America.
Thank you.
Amen to that.
Definitely.
We're going to sign off here and hold our breath, yeah?
Yeah, well, we're not only that, we're going to hold our breath for a month. And then continue to hold it till January.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long 2 months.
It definitely is. Well, and I've got a closing comment. I just realized I never hit the stream button, so we've never been online this whole time. It's just been our own personal meeting. So here's to a successful first Tuesday meeting. If you weren't here,
I have to head to town.
We're so happy to have you guys back with us, and we will continue to do these meetings into the foreseeable future. You guys have an awesome week until next Tuesday. This is the San Carlos Computer Club saying tech on, and I'm Scott again. Goodbye. If you guys need help with anything, please let me know. You can reach me, Scott@internationalcs.net. Adios.
Adios.
Until next Tuesday. Adios. Bye, Cheryl. And we will stop.